Hi, thanks for joining us. This is Earl Lane, a Senior Communications Officer at the American Association for the Advancement of Science, or AAAS. This teleconference was organized to discuss a new Pew Research Center survey conducted in partnership with AAAS, examining public and scientists' attitudes about science. We'll be hearing from two speakers, Scott Keeter, K-E-E-T-E-R, Director of Survey Research for the Pew Research Center, and Alan I. Leshner, who serves as the Chief Executive Officer of AAAS and Executive Publisher of the journal Science. The Pew Research Center conducted the survey, which includes a commentary response by Dr. Leshner. Tiffany Lowater, the AAAS Public Engagement Manager, helped coordinate the survey. During the teleconference, each speaker will provide about a 3 to 5 minute overview statement, and then we'll take questions from reporters. So why don't we begin, Scott?
Thanks very much, Earl. Good afternoon, everybody. The Pew Research Center's long had an interest in science in the public. We've, over the years, asked about many scientific issues as well as questions about the attention that the public pays to science, but we've never focused an entire study on the subject before. A number of different things led us to undertake the study at this time. In the midst of a bad economy, we hear a lot about scientific and technological innovation as important ways that the U.S. might make it out of the recession. In our work globally, doing polls as part of the Global Attitudes Project, we found that U.S. science and technology are America's most admired accomplishments, even in countries that otherwise have a very negative view of us. And, of course, clashes between science and politics have been in the news for decades, but very much so in the past few years, not just on specific issues such as climate change and stem cell research, but over the treatment of science in the Bush administration. For all of these reasons, we thought this was a particularly good time to take the temperature of the public and scientists about the state of science. To do this, we asked scientists themselves about the issues that we should include in the study. We also needed an efficient way to draw a good cross-section of working scientists for the sample, and that led us to this collaboration with AAAS, and we're very grateful for the advice and the help that they've provided. Before I offer a quick overview of the findings, I should note that the Pew Research Center is a nonpartisan research organization. We don't take positions on issues. We don't advocate for anything. And so in this collaboration with AAAS, as well as in all of our collaborations, we had the final authority over the content of the questionnaires and the report. This report is based on three new surveys. Two of them are telephone surveys of the general public, and one is a survey of a random sample of scientists drawn from the membership of AAAS. I'll be happy to address any questions that you have about the methodology of the study when we get to the Q&A. This is a very wide-ranging study. Let me just focus on a few key findings to get us started. Number one, the public has a very favorable view of scientists and of science and its impact on the society. 84% of our general public respondents say that science has had a mostly positive effect on society. Most people say scientific research in areas such as human genetics and even nuclear energy has done more good than harm for society. Scientists as a profession more highly regarded than members of most other professions that we ask about, second only to teachers and members of the military. Generally speaking, these high ratings for science and scientists actually cross party lines, and even people who dispute scientific conclusions on things like evolution and climate change have a generally favorable view of science and scientists. But the public does have a far less positive view of the global standing of U.S. science than scientists themselves do. Just 17% of members of the public that we interviewed said that United States scientific achievements are the best in the world. That compares with about half of the scientists who said that. In addition, in a question that we ask about America's most important achievements over the past 50 years, fewer Americans volunteer scientific advances as an important achievement than did so when we asked a similar question a decade ago. For their part, about three-quarters of scientists say that this is a good time for science in general as well as for their specialty, and despite the fact that it's a bad economy, two-thirds of them say that it's a good time for someone to start a career in their scientific specialty. But the scientists identify serious problems with both the public and the media. Fully 85% of the scientists say the public's lack of scientific knowledge is a major problem for science. About three-quarters say it's a major problem that news reports don't distinguish between findings that are well-founded and those that are not. About half of scientists say that lack of funding for basic research is a very serious impediment, and many of them also identify things like visa problems affecting foreign students and scientists as impediments as well. Interestingly, the public is largely in sync with the scientists on the subject of funding. 84% of scientists say that government funding is a key source for them, and the public is largely supportive of federal funding. 6 in 10 say government funding of science is essential for scientific progress. Only 29% say that private investment would ensure adequate scientific progress. And even bigger majorities of the public think that government investments in basic scientific research and engineering pay off in the long run. When we ask people their priorities in reshaping the federal budget, science ends up as a mid-tier priority. That is, there are things above and below it, but very few people favor cutting federal funding for science, even in these tough times. 39% favor increases, which is about the same as it was when we last asked the question in 2001. The study also delves into science and politics, and there's a lot of material on this. I'll just hit a couple of high points. The public and the scientists have very different views on many issues, including scientific conclusions on evolution and climate change. Nearly 9 in 10 scientists accept the idea of evolution by natural selection, but just a third of the public does so. There's a big gap on climate change. 84% of scientists say that the Earth is getting warmer because of human activity. Just under half of the public agrees with that. There also are big gaps on issues involving the application of science. Scientists are much more likely than the public to support the expansion of nuclear power, federal funding for stem cell research, or even the use of animals in scientific research. And one recent political controversy that was very much on the minds of scientists was largely invisible to the public. We ask about charges that the Bush administration prevented government scientists from reporting research findings that conflicted with the administration's point of view. 54% of the public said they'd heard nothing about that. On the other hand, most scientists had heard at least a little about it, and 77% told us that they believed the charges were true. And then finally, we tested the public's knowledge and awareness of recent science news as well as some basic scientific facts. It's not a particularly hard test. The average score was just under 8 out of 12, or if you were scoring it as an exam, maybe 65%. If you want to try it yourself, we've created a web quiz version. The link is in the report. Just don't read the section on the quiz until you've taken the test. And now I'll pass the microphone to Alan.
Hi. First, let me say what a great pleasure it is for us to be collaborating with Dr. Keeter and with the group at the Pew Research Center. This is, we think, an extremely useful and important survey that's important not only for the general public, but it's also important for the scientific community because we in the community have a need to obviously do a better job of relating to the general public. As the survey showed, and Dr. Keeter just said, and this has been true for 30 years or more, the general public has a very positive view of science. A disconnect is they don't always know what is and isn't science, and they don't always agree with it. Probably the biggest surprise from my perspective was that although the public likes science in the United States, they actually don't think it's the best in the world. And I wonder what would happen if you were to ask that in other countries. I can tell you from my own experience when I travel to Europe or to Asia, people constantly see American science as the target, American science as the gold standard that they are trying to aspire to. Now, it is true that the European Union does outpublish American science in terms of the number of papers that are being published, but a number of studies, particularly those published in Science Indicators, show that American science is still cited more frequently than science anywhere else in the world. So whether that's best in the world or not, the perception both by the public, 17% is a relatively small number, or even by the American scientific community, which is larger but not a great number, surprised me, given the reaction of people in other parts of the world. The other issue, of course, is although people like science, they're not bound by what science shows, and that is reflected in some of the data shown here, particularly evolution or issues of climate change. But then there are differences in preferences and beliefs around the use of animals in scientific research, favoring funding for embryonic stem cells, nuclear power plants. Some of that is a difference in understanding what the science shows, but some of that also is that advances in science, particularly over the course of the last decades, are coming into conflict with some core human values issues, whether it's when life begins or what you believe about evolution. And, of course, only scientists are stuck with what science is showing. The public at large, policymakers or the public, are free, of course, to deny, disagree, or just disregard what the science is showing. Scientists don't have that luxury. So there are also gaps between what scientists know and what the public believes, and well reflected in this survey is the frequently asked question, what's the cause of that gap? Frequently, the scientific community has in the past, and again does here, put heavy burden on the media as a source of those gaps. I was particularly struck that less focus was put on the education system in the United States, which surely has a responsibility for what people know or don't know about science, and of course on the scientific community itself. And my own view is that the scientific community has a tremendous responsibility to not only produce useful, interesting, provocative science, but to go out to the public in an active way, engage with the public, work on areas of disagreement, but also make sure that the public, the science it produces is not only useful, but that it in fact will be used in a productive way. I think this survey does a very nice job summarizing, again, both for the public and for the scientific community, some of the major issues facing the science-society interaction and points in the directions or emphasizes some of the directions of where we need to go. I think I'll stop there and let's move to questions.
Okay, we'll start with questions, operator.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question or make a comment, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Please hold for your first question. Your first question comes from the line of Dan Vergano with USA Today.
Hi, folks. I hope you can hear me.
Yes.
I had two questions. The first one was, I guess, for Dr. Leshner. The one is, what are those new directions you need to go in? I mean, how is AAAS going to have scientists, you know, get tenure for explaining things to the public rather than publishing papers in Science Magazine, you know, if that's what it takes to get scientists out of the lab? And the second question is, I guess, for the Pew folks, some people in the past have criticized these sort of quizzes of, you know, how many days are in the year and that sort of thing as not really being indicative of people's true scientific knowledge, that you want them to understand science as a process, not just a bunch of facts. And I was wondering, you know, if people criticize what your results on, you know, that basis, how would you respond?
Why don't I answer the first question first? basically, AAAS has been committed for a very long time to trying to get scientists out there, but we have engaged in a more aggressive campaign over the course of the last 5 years or so through this center we have on public engagement in science. Among the things we do, besides exhortation, which is minimally effective, we, you know, have gone out and editorialized to the scientific community. And now, over the last couple of years, we, in partnership with the National Science Foundation, developed actually a training program for scientists on how to engage effectively with the public, and we've had workshops around the country. And I have to say, I've been very pleasantly surprised that literally hundreds of scientists, many of them young scientists, have come to those workshops to learn what works and doesn't work. And we're not alone in doing this. Groups like Research America, the Aldo Leopold Foundation, are also involved in this activity. There's a growing recognition. As more and more of these kinds of training programs have been developed by national organizations, we see that more and more universities are encouraging their faculty members to do more public outreach. It also, of course, is a major it's a major requirement for NSF funding that, in fact, scientists can demonstrate the broader impacts of their work, which they often do through sort of this science outreach kind of activity. Scott, I don't know if you wanted to answer his question on surveys.
Sure. There's a long history of asking questions of this nature. Five or six of the questions that we ask actually are drawn from long series of questions that have been asked over the past 20 years or more, work by John Miller, developing these under the under funding from the National Science Foundation, attempt to measure what the public's understanding of basic scientific principles. And so I'll give you a spoiler alert that I'm going to mention a couple of these if you haven't taken the quiz. But a simple question of true-false, electrons are smaller than atoms. Or not all radioactivity is man-made. I mean, these are some basic scientific principles that themselves are not particularly difficult to grasp, but one would presume that without this, you wouldn't be able to move on to more advanced knowledge. The other questions in the knowledge quiz we developed from science news, scientific events and facts and findings that have been in the news over the past few years. And I think they reflect the degree to which people pay attention and retain information. And there's a very strong correlation between the textbook knowledge that the NSF has been developing and the knowledge of the contemporary scientific facts and recent findings.
I would just add to that, you know, you can look at some of these numbers as positive numbers or as negative numbers. You know, the public doesn't know about this or that. On the other hand, you know, the fact that antibiotics don't work on viruses could be viewed as a fairly esoteric kind of a question, yet the public did pretty well on it. The same is true for stem cells. My word, who would have expected 5 years ago that a large percentage of the public would understand what embryonic stem cells were or could do.
I could just follow up. You know, you mentioned John Miller's work. He's basically shown that what really improves public understanding of science is the first 2 years of college taking a science course. I mean, shouldn't you be encouraging scientists to be better teachers? You know, we lose half of the kids who go into S&E majors in college. You know, and teaching is, you know, not as well valued as bringing in research grant money at universities. Shouldn't that be where the focus is?
I would argue that I promise not to go off on a long harangue about this, since some of you have heard me harangue it before, that it's the general public that needs understanding of science, not just those who go on to higher education. You can't live in modern society and not have a fundamental comfort and familiarity with the nature of science and what it is, because science pervades every aspect of modern life. And therefore, I argue that it's at the pre-college level that we need to focus on all students, not just those who are going to be scientists and engineers or who are going to go on to college.
Okay, can we have the next question?
Your next question comes from the line of Randolph Schmidt with Association Press.
Hi. I'm just curious, do you see in the decline in the public appreciation of the importance of American science a change in college enrollment in the sciences? Has that gone down in parallel?
Science, you know, the ultimate recruitment of scientists seems to be going okay, although it does, of course, need attention, as the last decade has been pretty rough for getting young scientists or young people engaged into the scientific enterprise. I think there is a danger over time that, the U.S. will lose not only its preeminence in science, but its very eminence in science if we don't pay attention to the future workforce and make sure that it is the kind of a career that will attract young people. It's no fun to come if 10% of the grants are getting funded and you spend your life seeking money.
It seems like an awful lot of our graduate students, and especially in the harder sciences, seem to be imported.
That has been true. It fell off, of course, with the visa problems over the last few years. But a large number are imported, and there are major efforts ongoing to increase the number of American young people going into science.
Okay. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Squirt Fox with Pop Science Online.
Hi, that's Stuart Fox, but either way. I guess this question is for Scott. Did you ask the people to define science? Because if they're not believing in global warming and not believing in evolution, but saying that they appreciate scientists and believe in science, is it possible they just misunderstand what science means?
Well, that's a good question. We debated the issue of whether to actually try to get people to define science. There have been some efforts to do that in the past, and we just didn't think that that was likely to be very productive, and so ultimately we didn't do it. But I'll take your question as an opportunity to mention something about the findings with regard to climate change and evolution. I mean, what we find in the study is that it isn't necessarily ignorance of scientific facts that is driving the relatively low numbers of people who say that they believe the Earth is getting warmer because of human activity, or that humans and other living things evolved through natural selection. In the case of the latter, it's clear that religious belief plays a very strong role. Even among evangelicals and people who accept the literal truth of the Bible, you have significant numbers of people saying that they are aware of the fact that scientists agree that evolution through natural selection occurs. In the same way, in the question of climate change or global warming, you find a lot of people aware of the fact that there's a scientific consensus on this who still say that it's not the case. And there, rather than being religion, it's more political. Conservatives and Republicans in particular are far less likely to accept the idea of human-caused global warming.
Let me just add very briefly, I'm fond of saying that the purpose of science is to tell us about the nature of the natural world, whether you like the answer or not. Well, only scientists are stuck with the answer. Other people, when it conflicts with their core beliefs, are free to work around the answer in one way or another.
So is it safe to say this poll was more of a test about whether or not people were aware of scientific consensus rather than a poll of the public's understanding of science in general?
It was both. It was both. I mean, there's far more content in here than we've been able to describe, and of course we ask a lot of questions about not scientific findings per se, but about the application of science, the questions relating to federal funding for stem cell research. But on these two key issues, which have been the source of so much political controversy over the past few years, we felt that it was useful to drill down a little bit with respect to sort of the sources of attitudes on both of them.
Your next question comes from the line of Peter Spotts with the Christian Science.
No, thanks for doing this. I just one of the things I wonder as I was reading through here, does this suggest anything to either of you about the degree of public trust in scientists? Certainly, they were looked at favorably, that you pointed out, comparing with folks in the military and so forth. But is there anything here that really gives you a good bead on the level of public trust in science and scientists, and at least as a sort of a problem-solving exercise, if nothing else?
I think that the various ways that we went at this issue of whether is science a prestigious occupation? Have they made good contributions to society? Have they done more good than harm, or more harm than good? I mean, these are a number of different ways of measuring something like trust, but it isn't specifically trust. But you can hardly imagine that if people didn't trust scientists, that the numbers would be so positive. And of course, as Alan mentioned, the NSF has a long series of other questions asking about the role of scientists and the contribution of scientists. And the trends over time have been very flat. Public has high regard for scientists, regardless of how you ask the question. And there's been relatively little change over time. So I think we're illuminating a few different aspects of that. And I think collectively you could say that, by and large, the public does trust scientists.
Right. And I've just one other sort of little question here, and I think that was looking at the science slipping as in the public's view as one of the nation's great achievements. Is there a danger in that at all, or is that just sort of a kind of an intriguing observation? I wonder, because at the same time, in terms of things like where the funding comes from and sort of appropriate relative levels of funding, the public certainly seems to support the investment in the scientific enterprise. Is there a contradiction there, or is there maybe something to build on as I get more funding for science? I don't know, but it just...
Yes, right. I'll pass this to Alan, but I'll just say one thing. We didn't ask this question about where American scientific achievements rank in the world in the past. This question was new, and so we don't know if the 17% of the public who tell us that American science is the best in the world is lower or higher than it has been in the past. Where we do have a trend, even if it's not a perfect one, is on top of the mind mentions of scientific achievements as being America's greatest achievements over the past 50 or 100 years. But, of course, it is entirely possible that if the public sees American science lagging, that it would actually lead to more support. But I'll let Alan speak to that if he wants to.
Well, I would say that the public's very high support for federal funding of scientific research is an indication of the public's understanding that science is critical to solving national needs, both now and into the future. There is that well-reported statistic that over 50% of economic growth since World War II has been related to science and technology. And I think that the general public, and certainly reflected in this survey, believes that science is good for the country and that industry is not going to pick up the tab for a lot of the fundamental research that needs to be done in order to keep the country more generally at the top of the ladder. As I said before, I am concerned that the public may not fully appreciate the stature of science, but I'm not totally sure what the actual implications of that would be.
Next question, please.
Your next question comes from the line of Mark Bija with Chronicle of Higher.
Hi, this is Mark Bija from the Chronicle of Higher Education. My question was very similar to the previous one. A lot of people, you said, don't view America as being the top in the science world as far as research and what they're doing. Why is it then that they want to be spending so much money, especially now, and putting that money towards science, as a similar amount of people said, I think you said, thought that as they did 10 years ago or something like that?
It's hard to tease that out, but we do know that people who are more knowledgeable about science, people who are better educated, are more likely to say that American science is the best in the world. But even among those most knowledgeable or best educated groups, you still have well below 50% saying that. And it could very well be, and this is an inference I think we'd have to draw, but that people who see science American science is not the best in the world, think that it needs more investment.
Even though a large percentage of them don't necessarily agree with some of the things that as much as scientists do, even though they're not, on board. I mean,
In terms of disagreeing with scientists about issues like climate change, you mean?
Yeah, about things like that,
right.
About those popular, the things, you see in the media pretty often.
Well, I would say, this is Alan, I would say that whether or not the public thinks American science is the best in the world, the public has very clearly said, by stating the support issue, for example, that it understands that having a top-flight scientific enterprise is positively correlated with the success of a country. And there's sort of correlational evidence. If you look around the world, those countries with strong scientific capacity and infrastructure are among the strongest countries in the world, and developing countries are investing more and more in science in order to accomplish those goals. I think in the United States, it appears that whether or not the public thinks we are the best in the world, seems to me they think we ought to be as good as we can be.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Janet Roloff with Science News.
Yeah, am I on?
Yes.
Okay. Considering that, especially in apparently climate change, evolution, some of those potentially very important areas, there's a discrepancy between what the science community sees as the trends and the public. How do you counter those impediments from the belief systems or political, paradigms that seem to challenge it? How do you get around that? Is there anything in your data that would suggest how you start coping with that?
This is Scott. I'm going to defer to Alan on that. We don't normally try to think about how public opinion could be changed, but there's a lot of data here that might be useful for that, and perhaps Alan has some thoughts.
Well, I would just repeat what I said before, that I think the survey says to scientists that there's a lot of work to do in getting the message out, not only about what we do, but also about the nature of science as an enterprise and its broad implications for society. We're never going to get to a level of perfect understanding, of course, but there are assertive things that the scientific community, the educational community can do, and I think, frankly, national political leadership can help.
But I thought you were saying that it looked like people were encountering the science and basically ignoring or rejecting it because it contradicts some kind of value system that's important to them. How do you get through the value discordance?
Well, first of all, I don't think you're going to make progress if you stick to the extremes, whether it's all the way to the right or all the way to the left. There is a middle ground where I believe, and we have worked hard, we AAAS, through our public engagement programs, as have many other organizations both here in Europe and Asia, where people work together to try to find common ground. The change that's that's being indicated in the strategy to be used by the scientific community from the survey. That wasn't the most coherent sentence I ever used. The message that we should take in part from the survey is that we need to work with the public, to listen to the public, to what their concerns are, and see where that common ground is. And the data do speak. Whenever that has been done, great progress has been made.
And I'll just add a couple of data points here to this, and also try to make sure that my earlier remarks about perceptions of scientific consensus aren't over interpreted. We ask people, do scientists generally agree that humans have evolved over time? And 60% say that scientists do. We ask them, do scientists generally agree that the Earth is getting warmer because of human activity? And 56% say that scientists do. That leaves a lot of room for a change in perception. What I was saying before is that there are a lot of people who know about the scientific consensus who reject it, but not that there isn't a correlation. In fact, people who themselves reject the idea of evolution by natural selection, or who say that the Earth is not getting warmer because of human activity, are much less likely than those who accept those things to see a scientific consensus.
Which justifies their point of view, but, I mean, how do you get, do you then work to show that the consensus is stronger than they think, or are they just refusing to hear that the consensus is there?
Well, I think that you have to use the consensus. And I'm not suggesting you're suggesting this, but one can't just exhort, we all agree, you should agree with us. It's a much more interactive process that's involved. It's time-consuming and can be tedious, but in fact, it's very important that the scientific community and the public have more than soundbite conversations about these subjects. And we have seen a big shift in the climate change issue over the last few years. I would use again that example of stem cell research, where a tremendous number of the public now have a sense of what stem cell research is. Well, that was not the case 5 years ago. So progress can be made.
Next question, please.
Your next question comes from the line of David Kramer with Physics Today.
Yeah, hi. I'm wondering on the issue of funding for science. Was the question asked whether people would favor a cut in funding for other programs to pay for an increase in science funding? And I also wondered if there was any indication where the survey respondents asked which country might be more advanced in science or have better science.
To your latter question, we did not ask about who is the world leader, so we can't address that. But to the question of funding, of relative priority of science versus other things, we ask people about increasing, decreasing, or keeping spending the same, but we did not pit increased spending on science to decreased spending on other things. But I'll just give you a couple of numbers to give you a sense of sort of where science has been with respect to other priorities, and why the number that I cited, 39% saying that science, spending on science should be increased, could be seen as a positive thing, even though it is, as I said, a mid-tier spending priority. At the top, education, 67% say spend more, but that's down 9 points from 2001. Spending on health care, 61% increase, but that's down 10 points from 2001. Science, 39%, is only down 2 points from 2001, a change that's not statistically significant. And then things that fall below science, anti-terror defenses, 35% spend more, or aid to the world's needy, 26% spend more. So that gives you a little bit of a sense of how things shape up in relative terms.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Karen Frankel with TalkingScience.org.
Yes, my question has to do with the scientist survey and their dissatisfaction with the science press. Is there any information about what improvement they would like to see on the part of the science press?
No, there isn't. We did ask about different aspects of the coverage of science. I think I mentioned in my opening remarks that 76% say that it's a major problem for science that the news does not distinguish between well-founded findings and those that aren't. 48% say that the news media oversimplify scientific findings. And then in terms of the questions we ask about the public, one could look at that and ask whether there's some responsibility from the media with respect to this, but 49% said it's a major problem for science, that the public expects solutions to problems too quickly. But we didn't ask for recommendations for what could be done.
Okay, I think that's all the questions we have for now. I'd like to thank everybody for calling in. The report and the news release are available through Eureka Alert, www.eurekaalert.org. If you have any follow-up questions, you can call me at 202-326-6431 or Vijaya Krishnamurthy of the Pew Research Center at 202-419-4328. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.